Amen. As I sat there and listened to them, I started to go back in time. Back in the days at CUC. Back in college days, back in singing with the choir, with Dr. Andrews conducting, it's just a warming feeling. And I do appreciate the music. The only question is, why do I have to speak? I could just sit there all day listening to this melodious music and just be transformed on wings of music into the realms of heaven. But today we begin our week of prayer. And for the entire week, we're going to be praying for the family. Like I said last week, the good old oak tree is being destroyed. The good old oak tree is being destroyed. And the question for us this morning, today, as we begin our week of prayer, do some little things a little different today. Is the home family under attack today? Why and how? I want you to just turn around to your little group in a little some little groups of two, three, four, fives, whatever. Turn to your neighbor and discuss this for the next 5 minutes. Turn to your neighbor and discuss this for 5 minutes. Is the home or the family under attack? If it is under attack, why is it under attack? And how is it being attack. Discuss. You see, you're part of the sermon this morning. I hear the chattering ceasing a bit, and anyone want to tell us why? Or what have you discussed? Why and how is the home under attack? Anybody? Just raise your hands, quick. All right. She says Satan is attacking the nucleus of the family, of society. Anybody else? Well, don't be afraid. I know some names. The devil is running out of time. Anything else? So you are telling me that the whole world is centered around the family. Anybody else?
Yes. The family that prays together, stays together, he's trying to disrupt that.
All right.
God is reconciling the world unto himself and is using the family to bring people back to where we were in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, the devil attacks the family, and the school is here to save the day.
Yeah. Anybody else? One more. Oh, there is.
That when we get ourselves been battered by the enemy, and then we forgot the only safety we have is at the feet of the cross, where we could intercede before God to bring back that hedge around the family. Most of the time, that's what's.
Amen. Amen. All right. And since we are into the prayer season, I just want you to just bow where you are at this time and just lift up the family in prayer. This begins our week of prayer, praying for the home, praying for the family. So individually, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and lift up the family in prayer. 1 minute. Father in heaven, as our focus this week would be on the family, the foundation of society, the foundation of the church, the foundation of the world. Lord, as it is under attack, the safest place is to be in your arms. And so, dear Father, we ask that you will build that hedge around our homes, around our families, so that we can fight off the enemy and be that beacon to let the world know that you are still alive. Bless us, strengthen us, and may we never turn our backs on you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of the week, between the hours of 6:45 to 7:30, we'll be looking at different aspects of the family. Tomorrow night, we'll be talking about marriage, the discipleship of marriage. Monday, we'll be talking to fathers, looking at the fathers, the men in the home. And then on Tuesday, we're talking about mothers. Tuesday, we're talking about mothers. Wednesday, we are talking about those things that destroy the home. Fighting against the odds. That's Wednesday. Thursday, we're dealing with the singles in our home, the single parents. We need to keep them also in prayer. And then on Friday night, we're talking about parenthood, talking about our kids, our children. So we're inviting you to come, spend 45 minutes with us. From tomorrow evening, every night, 45 minutes, as we petition the throne of grace on behalf of our homes, our families. To strengthen our home with tender care, the Lord capped off the creation of our earth, our planet, with a different kind of creation, the human being. Rather than just speaking into existence, the first man, as has been the case with all other things that he has created, God performed a unique act. He stooped down, the Bible says, on the bank of this river and scooped up clay. And with his own two hands, he formed man. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All other creatures were called into existence except man. He took the time, formed man, breathed into him the breath of life. Unique in origin, but specific work of God. This new creature, shape or have the characteristics of God. As such, he is intended to relate intellectually to other human beings. Then God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper." God again went down and put Adam to sleep, took a rib from his side, and fashioned and created another being and breathed into that being the breath of life, and that being became a living soul, and he presented that being to Adam. All the time, Adam looked around the garden and saw all the animals and said to himself, "Nothing looks like me. Everybody pairing up and everybody... but there is no one looking like me." And when God presented Eve to Adam, Adam, in sheer delight, burst into exclamation, and with joy rendered the Bible's first poetry. When Adam saw that beautiful creature in front of him, what did he say? "Oh, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Therefore, the Bible says, "A man shall leave his mother, father, and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they become one flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, here God established the first family, setting into place his intended means for making the whole, for meeting the whole array of our needs, private and interpersonal, and provide the basis for from which we gain our self-understanding. It is in the family everyone has a place. Whether father, mother, son, or daughter, or distant relative, we all have a place in the family. Here in the place we meet and provide acceptance, encouragement, we provide guidance. Yes, the godly discipline. Here we learn the fundamental idea of self-control, what is right and what is wrong, and above all else, we are introduced to the joy of life giver, Jesus Christ. When you think about it, beloved, our society is only about 20 years old. You may say, no, the world is, no, look at it. 20 years is all we have to establish the task of educating and training or children. You get that? We have roughly about 20 years to train them. These infants know nothing of our language or culture or religion or values. They are totally ignorant about spiritual and political evils in the world. Small wonder then that over the Bible says that our morals are created and developed in the home. And the Bible uses the language of family. How are we advised or invited to address God? Our Father. Jesus continually spoke to and of God in family terms. Here today, as believers, we address one another as brothers and sisters. The language of family. Congregations at their best mirror the same kind of care, mutual affection and support that exists in the families according to God's plan. But families are in deep, deep trouble today. Families are in deep, deep trouble today. The very first family was forced to cope with the horror of the blood of the much beloved son by the hand of their own son. Today we find the alienation rumbles through family, gathering pity, jealousy, and unforgiving spirit, driving apart brothers from sisters, parents from children, and separating families from each other. This was not God's intention. Jesus tells us that Moses permitted you to divorce your wife because your hearts are hardened. But the Savior added sorrowfully, saying, from the beginning it was not so. Here we see the very Creator who had introduced Adam to Eve now lamenting the change that befaced everything, even the very good families. Defaced the very good intentions and ideals for children. Hardening of the heart continues to increase the pain as we get further and further away from God. Divorce rate in our world today is nearing marriage rate. If divorce ever passed marriage rate, I wonder what will happen. Our homes crumble. And as our homes crumble, we see the decline of civilization. Everywhere, the broken down of families generate massive problems, contributing to rising in crime, the rise of crime, increased abuse of drugs, the increased levels of violence that we see today. All these because of hardening of hearts. All these become huge problems to governments, while the impact on God's church is devastating. We know that many of those who grow discouraged and slip away from the fellowship of church do so under the pressure of family breakdown. My heart goes out to young people who endure or go through these things. Youthful resentment fueled by home tension is too often translated into rejection of Christ. The trauma of divorce leads countless others to give up on once strong Christian experiences and turn to mere concern with everyday matter. And all the while burdened with the load of guilt. We have been forewarned that in the end time, the fabric of the family will come under Satan's special attack. Paul wrote to the young man Timothy, telling him of the increased self-centered people who, breaking away from life designs to hold them together in harmony. Nor have we forgotten Jesus' warnings that finally the world would return to the set of values that prevailed just before the flood. Today, we can see these things all around us. Talking to the young people, they can see it. As a matter of fact, they are in the midst of it. When I grew up, it was a boy and a girl. Today, the young people are growing up. I don't even know what to say. They are facing these challenges. They are facing these questions. And they are even asking themselves the question, who am I? This is what the devil is doing to humanity today. Confusing our minds. How can we ask ourselves the question, who am I? You are God's child. You are son of the king. You are a daughter of the king. Walk with your heads high. Don't compromise. Know who you are. You are God's children. Let me tell you, there are lots of stories in the Bible of young people your age who went through, maybe not what you're going through, but something similar or even worse. But they stood for Christ, and he stood for them. Look at Esther, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, all these young men, Joseph, all these young men and young women stood for principle, stood for God, and God stood with them. Can you imagine telling a powerful king, I am not going to worship you. You can throw me into the fire. I will die rather than serve you. And today you get a little pressure and we start to buckle. But let me tell you a little saying. Excuse me. Let me tell you a little saying. dead fish cannot swim upstream. Only living fish can swim upstream. You know, Jesus spoke in parables. When you figure that one out, you see, my friends, when we are alive with God, we can fight the battle. When we give up and turn our backs on God, the tide takes us away. Be alive. Stand for Christ. He will stand for you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will give you the courage to say no. Five minutes of pleasure does not worth. Does not worth eternity. You cannot, you should not, and I dare say, please don't enjoy life for a few minutes and give up on eternal life. Things may look rough, things may look hard, but just lift up your head, look beyond the trouble, you will see the rising star. You will see the rising star. The fact is, beloved, we are living in a broken world. And the church is not unaffected by this brokenness. Many single-parent families in our midst, there are many single families in our midst that have been ravaged by separation, abandonment or divorce that need our support. Rather than experience the frown of the church, such families need to experience the support of the church in dealing with their problems. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a special privilege carrying a prevailing message to an increasingly troubled world. We have that responsibility. We have that privilege. We need to carry that message. Our message to the world is not just that a solemn judgment will fall upon this earth, but our message should introduce people to the Savior that is coming to rescue us. We need to illustrate in our church and in our lives how God has rescued us from these troubled families. Churches that function according to the grand principle taught by Jesus provide a place for single parents and children from broken homes to find stability, support, love, an environment in which sound Christian experiences can grow. A Christian home is not just a shelter in which we recover from the wounds afflicted by life. Its influence reaches further than that. Ellen White makes this statement in the book Adventist Home. She says, "The mission of the home extends beyond our own members. The Christian home is to be an object lesson illustrating the excellence of a true principles of life. Such an illustration will be a power for good in the world. The home in which members are polite, courteous, Christian examples are far-reaching influence for good. Christian home cannot be constructed on sheer planning and determination. And often when counseling young people who are about to get married, I say, hey, marriage is a triangle. The bottom of the triangle is the husband and the wife. The bottom of the triangle, and on top is God. The closer each one gets to God, the closer each one comes together. The home can only make it in this world with God in it. A good home rests on the spiritual experiences of the family, of the members of the family. For only in Christ's power is found their ability to confront our natural human tendencies to self-serving. Generosity is patient, a will to put others' interests first, self-sacrificing love. All these come only from walking with Christ. How very essential are these in structuring the kind of home Christians are intended to enjoy? What element comes together to comprise the truly Christian home? Immediately we think of the Christian character traits, which are indeed basic. But these function best within the structure described in Scripture. Homes are designed to be places in which husbands and wives pool mutual love and resources to achieve what neither can do alone. This is not to suggest that successful life cannot be lived outside of marriage. For both in Bible times and today, we witness many examples. But God's ideal, not always reached in a world like ours, calls for a home in which father and mother cooperate in providing a place for children to grow up in love, security, and stability, and in honor to God and one another. Both fathers and mothers have a special work to do. While the exact task varies from culture to culture, the goals are the same. In his letter to Ephesians, chapter 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul describes in some detail the kind of true Christian homes. He gave this important principle in verse 2 of chapter 5. He says, "And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." True Christians are subject to one another out of reverence to God. As members of the family, working together in an orderly, dedicated manner, they add strength to one another, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, and economically. And the Heavenly Father works within such homes to build his work. As families are strengthened, the church gains strength. Austin wrote this article, and I want to pull out just a quotation from what he says that struck me. It says, "A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father." The picture of a father or mother on their knees, talking to the Heavenly Father, communicates a powerful spiritual image in that child's mind. Another powerful image of or communication tool is given to families is the gift of time. When I read this one, I found myself guilty of this. I don't know how many of you find yourselves in this same situation. But I found myself guilty of it. I am still guilty of it. Giving time to wife or children is giving them yourself. It is saying, I value you. You are important to me. Let us uplift our families and by giving our time. Pray for and with our families, sharing time with them. Let us recognize above all that in Christ we have a connection to the Creator of families. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this week of prayer this week, and as we petition the throne of grace on behalf of our families, let us make certain that during this week, that it brings us closer to our Heavenly Father, and at the same time, strengthen our homes. I encourage us all to keep praying for our families. The foundation of the world is the family. I never understood until recently the saying that says, the hand that rocked the cradle rules the world. Brothers and sisters, let us present our families to God, not just this week, but for the rest of our lives.
Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Father, we thank you. We bless you. And I pray, Lord, that you watch between us while we're absent one from another. Be with the family, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will all do our part. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lakeview elders, if we can please head straight to the schoolroom just for a few minutes, please.